lives and you see how you have changed, you see what you are doing, and recognizing it's the work of the Lord, it's the work of God taking the word and manifesting, and Lord, bringing to pass all that you promised, Lord. And Father, when we see this in the day we're living, knowing that if we are these believers, that we see this going on, then that makes us the elect of God, the very elect of Christ, the bride of Christ, Lord Jesus. And that just stuns us sometimes, Lord, to think about it, to recognize where we are in time, where we are in the Word, where we are in your mind, in your heart, Lord, and what you're doing among us. Tonight, Lord, we come that you would speak to us again, Lord, that you would take your word. It's your word that we want to hear. And take it, Lord, and just increase our faith, Lord. Help us to recognize. Help us to understand, Lord. And that it's not just a doctrine, a theology that we come to hear and to say, oh, we believe that. But, Father, that it's a revelation that changes our lives. That's what we long for, Lord, to see your face. We ask this, Lord, in your name. I ask for the ones who aren't here tonight, if traveling or where they're at, just touch them, Lord. Just be with them. Be their God, be their Lord, be their everything, Lord Jesus, wherever they are. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. If you would have turned in your Bible, we're going to read a couple of places. First of all, we will go to Thessalonians. First Thessalonians. Read several verses there, then we'll go to turn to 1 Corinthians. First Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll start at verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? He said, you received the word in much affliction, but with joy of the Holy Ghost. What an attitude. So that ye were examples, that's the same as examples, to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. So he said, now your example, you followed us as we followed the Lord, and your faith came, you bleed in the midst of affliction, and your faith is so much that everywhere the word is spread about that we don't even have to talk about you because they already know about you. You are an example to them of what it is to be a real Christian. You accepted the word through all the affliction, you accepted it, and everyone around knows about you, your faith and what God is doing. It's the power of God in your life. So we don't have to say anything. We don't have to testify what's going on in that church because everyone already knows about it. They know your example. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, that's a pillar of cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. They all partook of Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people went sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You may be seated. The first scripture we read, it was the examples of believers who, in the midst of affliction, had accepted the word with joy in the heart, and the faith and the power of God in the life was an example that other people would see it. Paul said, we don't even need to talk about you because your example is already going out amongst the people. The other is also a bunch of examples, and they started out as believers. They started out as believers. And they all partook of all the spiritual blessings. They followed their prophet messenger. They listened to his message. They believed it. There's great signs and wonders. They partook. They were baptized. They partook of Christ, the spiritual food and the drink. And yet, of all those that came out, how many went into the promised land? Two. Thousands fell. They had partook. They started out, but they fell. Why? And what happened, brother says, this was done for examples to us who the end of the world has come upon. And this is 1,000 years after Paul wrote this, or 2,000 years, right? So we're at the end of the world, folks, and these are examples for us. Tonight I want to speak on examples, and this ties in, I'm still speaking on the threefold purpose of God, and I thought we were going to get more into it tonight. I don't think we're going to, but it's just building more foundation and building up to it. And God's doing this, and so this is where we have tonight. So we want to look at this examples from the standpoint of the threefold purpose of God. So Brother Branham's preaching this in Christ is a Mystery. I know what I said doesn't make any sense at all, but hopefully it will by the time we're done. God has had a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. God, in his great mystery secret that he had before the world began, he got a threefold purpose in it. And now what we want to go upon this morning is, what is the threefold purpose? Now, I believe by the help of God who's present, he'll show it to us. So again, we're talking about that threefold purpose. And remember, a threefold purpose, you got three parts to it, three chords, three folds to it. And each of those parts plays a part, but that is not the purpose. It's all together becomes the one purpose. And so we're looking at what is God's great purpose that he had here at the end to show us. And we find out earlier when we were speaking that he opened this, he showed this under the seventh seal. All right? Now God had a purpose and a hidden mystery, and that's what I want to speak on to the church this morning. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began, and how that, now listen, he had it before the world began, that's his whole purpose when he started creation. He had a threefold purpose, and that was what he's revealing at the very end time. Now listen to what he says. He said, in his mind before the world began, and how that it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. Now wait a minute. He had a threefold purpose, but Brother Branham said it's been unfolding all the way down. Isn't that amazing? Then you'll understand clearly then on, I believe, what is being done. So he said he's been unfolding it down here, but now he's got this threefold purpose. And once he tells us this threefold purpose, from then on, we're going to understand what's being done. Okay? We're all still together. I'm throwing a lot out here, but it's going to make sense in just a little while. God's great mystery of how, he said, it's a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody know nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. He didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh seal, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. Amazing. He said, but he's been unveiling. It's been coming all the way down. But here when it's time, it's been a secret. So people look exactly what God's doing and still not see the purpose. That's why Brother Branham said a theologian could get in the Bible and study it. And God just hides himself right in the middle of it. And he can study it for his whole life and know everything about the Bible and never see Christ. Ain't that amazing? Well, Jesus is right there. Oh, he can see Jesus. Doesn't mean you see Christ. Isn't that right? You can hear Brother Branham, doesn't mean you hear the voice of God. Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. He said, it's not even the Son himself don't know when it's going to happen. God has this all to himself. It's a secret. Listen, brother and sister, do we really believe what we're talking about here? That this group at the very end, actually is the one who gets to know this secret that God had in his mind all the way down through time. Moses, Elijah, Joshua, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all the way down. Paul and Peter and all of them down. And it was still a secret. And we're here like, we know it. That just, I'm sure that our mind does not wrap around that yet. It will. All right. It's a secret. He said, that's the reason there is silence in heaven for a space of half an hour. And seven thunders uttered the voices. And John was even forbidden to write it, the coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet of how he will come and when he will come. It's a good thing he doesn't. He has, now listen, he said he hasn't revealed it. How he will come or when he will come, it's a good thing he doesn't. No, he has showed or revealed it in every type in the Bible. Wait a minute. It's a secret. He said that's the thing he hasn't revealed yet, how he will come, when he will come, but he has showed and revealed it in every type in the Bible. So, brother, sister, the whole secret is in this Bible. It's in there. But God has this in such a way that when it's time for a certain portion of the word to be revealed, he manifests it, he shows it to his believers. The believers recognize it and they say, I see Christ. That just blows my mind. He hasn't told when he's coming. He don't tell how he's coming, but he has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. What is it? Christ. Remember he said, if you don't see Christ in every scripture, go back and read it again. Christ in every scripture, the word being fulfilled down through the ages. Therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. One goal. God had one purpose. This whole Bible and everything that happened is to fulfill one goal. God's threefold purpose. Everything that happened from Satan getting kicked out of heaven all the way down through to the very end, the rapture and on beyond that, it's got one goal in mind. And he's given it to us to know what it is. And you could sit there and study Brother Brown's message until your head pops off. And if God don't open your eyes to it, it's not going to do you very much good. He reveals it to who he reveals it. It's for the elect. Okay. He had one goal, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. And all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type and expressing what God's great goal is. How many times when Brother Brandon was preaching, he'd go back and he'd take Moses, he'd take Joseph, he'd take Daniel, he'd take Isaiah, he'd take whoever, Elijah, and he'd tell the stories, the Bible stories. And he'd tell us what was going on there, what was going on. Why was he doing it? Just so we know what the Bible stories were? No, no, no. He was telling us, this is them expressing Christ. This is them expressing Christ. This is them expressing Christ. Or this is them not expressing Christ. Look at Jezebel. She was not expressing Christ. He talked about her quite a bit. Look up the two there with Moses. Jannes and Jambres. He talked about them a lot. This was them withstanding Christ. This was them withstanding Christ. Let me read that again. In the last days, all the acts of the believers in the Bible that has been in type and expressing what God's great goal is. And now in this last day, he has revealed it and shows it. And God's help will see it right here this morning, what the Lord has had in his mind all along and has expressed it. Therefore, you can see the great meaning of what it's been to know this and then try to bring it to the people. One goal that he had. It's been revealed. He's been revealing all the way down. What? Revealing Christ all the way down through the history of the Bible. To get us, why? Brother and sister, here's the thing. What's he trying to do? To get us to recognize Christ So then when Christ is revealed in this age, we will recognize him by his characteristics. When he preached, God is known by his characteristics. You think he just was telling us, well, you can look at the stars, you can look at nature, you can look at this. No, brothers, it's for specifically so that when we see Christ, we recognize it. Because one of the hardest things for a human being to do is recognize Christ in your own day. Anyone can turn around and see, well, that was Christ in Brother Branham. Absolutely. That was Christ in Peter. That was Christ in Paul. That was Christ in Jesus. That was Christ in Elijah. That was Christ in Moses. It's easy to see it. That's why we have thousands of denominations out there. They're all preaching the Christ of yesterday. No, they're not. Some of them are not even preaching Christ at all. But brother and sister, they're all pointing to what God done, and then they say, you know, this is, and then what do we do today? Well, we be nice to people. We're nice to people. We're good to people, and that makes us believers today. Come on. That's what Christianity has got to. And some teach a Dunyan priest being nice. Just believe what you want. Do what you want. You don't even have to believe in God. There's a lot of churches around this country where if you don't believe in God, that's fine. You're still welcome. Come on in. Hey, brother and sister, if you don't believe in God, you want to come to church here, I promise you're welcome. But don't sit there and pretend like, oh, we're going to say, well, you're okay. You're not okay. We accept everybody. But just know that the Holy Spirit's going to deal with you to try to get you to Christ. We're not going to bring you here. We'll accept you just the way you are. Yeah, but we're going to preach the word to you so that you can know Christ. We're not going to sit there and let you sit there in your unbelief and die and go to hell just because we don't want to hurt your feelings. We want to hurt your feelings if that's the way you are. You need to wake up. So let's just kind of bring this together. God's great purpose is a mystery that was hidden in what has happened and what is going to happen. All right? It's been hidden all the way down, but he's showing it a little bit, until you see it all the way down through. And then we're going to see what's going on happening out. He's expressing in humanity down through time in a mystery. Until it's time to recognize it, until it's time for that mystery to make known. Let me read another couple. I just got a couple more quotes, and then we're going to be done with quotes, I think. All of those things typed him, just in type, yet the mystery was hid. Them men didn't know what they were doing. Talking about the prophets. They only knew that they were led by the Spirit to do something. Now holding it back in the last days for the great revelation, but expressing it. All right, so a little bit here, they were doing things, but the great revelation wasn't going to happen until the very end when it was all going to come together under that one great threefold purpose, but they're expressing it here and here and here on down through time. There's a purpose he had to doing that. Why was he showing it down through time? So that the bride could recognize that that was Christ, and so when they see that thing, same thing today, they say, oh, I see him. Recognize him. Because only the bride is going to recognize it. This is only for the elect. Brother and sister, you might be sitting in here elect, and somewhat sooner or later it's not hitting you. Now your eyes are going to see this. And if you're not elect, you can sit here and hear the same thing that's being preached, thinking that you see it. That's the part that tears me up, because everybody on earth will be deceived except the elect. Oh my goodness. You can hear the same preaching, but somewhere in your decision making, you're going to reject it somehow. You're going to think you got it. You're going to think it's enough. You're going to whatever, however it is, and you're going to stand there on judgment day and say, you rejected it. But I thought I was believing. But yet you went off to some, you added your little thought to it here, or you added your emotion to it there. Look, you say, well, people who don't even believe this, they're not being deceived. Yeah, they are. They're being deceived and thinking they don't need this. Well, I don't care. You know, some people, I don't care if I go to hell. They're being deceived and thinking they don't care if they go to hell. I promise you one day they're going to wake up and say, oh, I do care. Everyone's being deceived except for the elect, brother and sister. If we are those people not being deceived, oh my goodness, What does that do for your heart? What does that do? Well, think about what God has done for us. I mean, there's a dozen people here tonight. God cares about a dozen people. There's only like 7 billion on the earth. He cares. Look at the people who have fallen away a long time ago or recently. Follow the message for years and then they're gone. Here you are. Is it your strength? Is it your intellect? Is it your faith? Something's holding you, folks. Look, they might agree with the same doctrine you agree with. It's got to be revealed to you as an individual. This is a personal walk between you and Christ. You say, well, how do I know? Well, first of all, just stick around because the things Brother Jerry's preaching on Sunday is going to tell you if you know or not. And second of all, this is between you and God. If you want to know for sure, then get serious with God and find out. He is very capable of letting you know. I know in the past, you know, quite a while ago, I'd be so concerned, you know, am I missing something from God? You know, what about this? And after a while, he said, you know, I'm very good at telling you things. You don't have to sit there and wonder. I'm going to tell you. So I just relaxed. God is going to let me know. And if I miss it, he'll come back and next time a little stronger. And if he has to grab me by the neck and say, hey, I'm talking to you, he will do that. If I have the right attitude. Now, if I go off of my own doctor, my own ideas and something to sit over there with, you know, though I got this figured out with some arrogant attitude, he speaks to me and I don't hear it. Hey, that's on me then. You just stay open before God and you let him speak to you. He will let you know. He has no problem speaking to you. Sometimes we have trouble understanding or hearing or accepting it because sometimes it don't come the way we want it to come. Christ is not a doctrine. He's not a theology. He's not a sensation. He's not an emotion. He's not a holiness. He's not an errand boy. He's not a Trinity. He's the living Word. That is what he's been trying to tell us ever since the prophet came. All the way down through time, but the prophet, what did Brother Branham constantly say? Back to the Word, back to the Word, back to the Word, back to the Word. And so what we did, we took the quotes and we proved by the quotes and the quotes and the quotes and the quotes. And no, that wasn't it. Who can outquote who? Who can prove what to who? I don't know how I ever get online and look at stuff, but once in a while I'm looking up something, I'll come across like a blog, you know, where people are on there, they're talking about the message and people just ridiculing it and just tearing it up, and other people trying to defend it. And they'll go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And they finally always get to this point. Well, brother, you just have to, it's got to be revealed to you. Well, if you believe that, why didn't you start there? You really thought you were going to convince them with your argument, and then when it didn't happen, well, it's got to be revealed to you. Well, then start there. Brother, I see what you're saying. It's got to be revealed to you. Goodbye. I'm not going to sit there and argue and fuss with someone and try and prove something if God has to open their eyes. What good are you doing? If I can convince them, someone else can convince them different. What good is it doing? But you know what it is when God reveals something to you. You hear that voice of God, and from then on, it's anchored. It's stuck there. And Satan beats against that and tries to get you to disbelieve, but you'll come right around, and there, you know, I still believe that. I heard that being preached over the pulpit. I was walking down the street, and God spoke to me. I know that was God. You all have your experiences. I hope you do. Them men didn't know what they were doing. They only knew they were led by the Spirit to do something, now holding it back in the last days for the great revelation, but expressing it, express himself in Moses and David and Joseph and Elijah and on down through. We could take each one of those prophets and bring their lives out and show it, express Jesus Christ perfectly, exactly, yet never giving his secret in full, waiting for it to be known in the last days as he promised. Listen to this. Waiting for it to be fully comprehended before he could express it.
When I first read that the first dozen times, I think, what is he trying to say? He said, waiting for it to be fully comprehended, that's understood, then he could express it. Well, if it's not been expressed yet, how can we fully comprehend it? Well, maybe Brother Branham just made a mistake right there. He said, because the Bible is written in mysteries, Jesus thanked the Father it was wrote in mysteries. So it's been in mysteries all the way down, and we can see the we can see what's happening, but the thing we struggle with, we didn't recognize there was a mystery behind it. What's the mystery behind Moses bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt? Well, now we can see all kinds of mysteries because it's such a type of the bride coming out today out of denomination. We see all kinds of things of the type coming down and Christ working through our time. At the time, you look at it and say, there ain't no mystery here. Moses just brought them out on the mighty hand of God. But now we see it. And so what does this mean? Waiting for it to be fully comprehended before he could express it. Brothers and sisters, this. Brother Branham took the Bible and became a new book, and he showed Christ all the way down through there. And the bride now can look down through time and see Christ all the way down through there. We comprehend. We know what Christ is. He's the Word made flesh. And now, in this last day, he can take that mystery and express it, and we will recognize it because we know who Christ is. Glory, hallelujah. We recognize it now. It's been fully comprehended. He wasn't some kind of doctrine. He wasn't just that prophet. He wasn't just this synagogue. He was Christ fulfilling the word that was prophesied by the prophets. And it made people stumble all over it. When Christ himself came, Jesus Christ came, he came and fulfilled this word. And they missed it because they did not recognize that he is always the word made flesh. But you know that. It's been hammered into you. It's been revealed to you. It's been preached to you. And you know better now. And you cannot be deceived. Because when you see someone preaching something else besides the word made flesh, you recognize it is wrong. That's why he can open it now. Because Satan cannot take that and do great damage to you anymore. Hallelujah. Because you know who Christ is. Oh, yeah. That's why it's too late now. Satan, you've been beat. You've been bested because you cannot get in and deceive this bride. You cannot get her to get her eyes off of Christ because she's too in love with him. She recognizes him. She knows what he's doing for her. My, that's why he said, now I can express this. I can completely fulfill this last final great purpose. I can show you what I'm doing all the way down through. My. That excites the fire out of me. I believe that, brother and sister. I believe we're in these days when it's time. We are seeing these things. Examples. Look, brother and sister. This is a secret coming. This is a secret going. The rapture is a secret. He comes and he sneaks her out. How is it? How is that? Why? Because everyone else doesn't see it. Everyone else is deceived. Everyone else doesn't recognize Christ. They think he's just doctor. They think he's following Brother Branham. They think he's living a holy life. But you know better. And because of this, when you see him and he calls, you answer. We sing that song when a Savior calls, I will hear him, because you hear his voice and you recognize what he's doing. And he's going to come and one day he's going to sweep us out of here, because this is a secret coming. It's not like it was with Brother Branham when the lightning flashed from the east to west and everyone could see the coming of the Son of Man. This time he comes to those who heard his voice and they sneak him away, and the rest of the people are still looking for him. That's why it makes sense. That's why it makes sense. Did Christ come when the seals are open? Yes, he did. He kept coming. He's still coming. And one day he's going to keep coming and take us right out of here, because you have recognized who he is. That voice come out and said, the bridegroom cometh. And you woke up and you said, I got oil in my lamp. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I got oil. Oh, I heard the voice of the bridegroom. He said, they said, he's coming. He came to the door. He said, are you in there? I said, yeah, I'm here. I heard his voice. It was a still small voice. And we snuck out the back door. And the rest are out there partying. They're doing all that kind of stuff. They're having their church. They're doing all their church. They're trying to be a good message-believing Christian. And you and I quit trying. We quit trying to be a good message-believing Christian because we recognize it's futile. What a waste of time. Get off of that legalism.
You say, you don't even try, Brother Phil? You know what I try to do?
I just try to believe everything he tells me. And I promise you, I'm speaking from personal experience, it will change your life. Said it many times, been said many times, but I'm going to say it again. You get more in love with Christ, the things of this world, they lose their hold. They lose their hold, they lose their attraction. Don't try to quit liking the world. Your own nature can't help it. It's of the world. Just fall in love with Christ and watch that inner man, the power of that inner man, come out and take control of this old nasty flesh and say, sit down and shut up, boy. He will do it. It's just the last couple weeks I had just been rejoicing because there's something that has dawned me my entire life. It's losing this hold. And I look at it and I read it in Isaiah where it says, you will become a sharp threshing machine and you will thresh the mountains and the wind will blow it away and you will look for your enemy and won't be able to find him. And I am a living testimony that is this exactly what's happening. You are a sharp threshing instrument. You are the word, and that enemy has dogged you your whole life. And you just take the word and stand and say, God, I am here to do your will. And you watch that word come and just take care of that thing that's bothering you. I wish it would have happened a long time ago, but it didn't. You know why it didn't? Because I needed to walk in faith and say, God, this is your battle. I can't defeat this mountain. But I speak into it and go forward. By faith. You know what we try to do? We speak to and walk forward with a shovel. Drop your old shovel. Just walk towards it. You are the threshing instrument. You are that sharp thing that's going to cut that down. Not with your abilities. Does that make sense? I feel like I got all over the place right now, but I'm happy so. Examples. Brother Branham, going to these prophets, talking about Jonah. Look at the things he talked about Jonah. Look how he talked about Samson. Look at all the types of Christ down here. Why? So that when we would recognize Christ in his characteristics today, we would recognize Christ. Look at the things that have happened around here. What if we didn't have a ministry that showed Christ in your afflictions? Think about it for a second. People dying. Horrible things happen. Divorces, kids going crazy, parents doing this, people falling away, saying all kinds of stuff, all kinds of spirits, all kinds of, you know, the behaviors and the horrible things that people have done, and this happened to people. If we didn't have a minister pointing us to Christ, brother and sister, we would have lost we'd have got discouraged. We would have lost our focus. We had all kinds of doubt. Well, how can God allow that to happen? Like I don't know, someone said when Brother Tim died, how can God bring anything good out of this? Now, someone said that in grief. It wasn't meant to be bad, but what a horrible thing to say. What a horrible thing to say. What, are you limiting God? God didn't have a purpose for that? But what happens? The ministry catches the mind of God and says, this is what happened. This is why that happened. This is what's going on. And things have changed dramatically around here. I know this is a touchy subject, but we're going to talk about it because this is what God put on my heart. There was a purpose for that. Brother Tim served that purpose. My human mind says, but really, God? It had to do it that way? But my soul says, wow. I saw Christ in so many things come out of that situation. But without a ministry to point us to us, how are you going to know? If you just listened to tapes after that, how would you know? You would have lost your, you would have got discouraged and walked away. Preaching is to get us to Christ, to recognize Him, to recognize His character. Instead of getting discouraged, we've gotten stronger. In the midst of the affliction, the midst of the grief, the midst of the things that won't ever heal, we've gotten stronger. That is Christ. That's what it means. Say, oh, but Phil, I don't want it to be that way. Well, that's what it means to suffer for Christ, folks. How could you reconcile the things that have happened around here without a ministry to point it to point to Christ? This is Christ doing this, and to walk in faith and allow Him to make the changes to fix things. You know, ministry is not given just to human, for human comfort. You know, you go to a funeral and someone preaches, you know, he's in a better place. No matter how they lived, you're going to hear he's in a better place. And they get comfort from that. But how about if the minister can get up and say, this girl who's laying here dead fulfilled God's purpose for her life. She fulfilled a purpose. She displayed Christ while she was here. This lady, she's lived 80 years and she was a living example of a Christian. She fulfilled God's purpose for her life. Brother and sister, for the believers, that's so much greater comfort because he's pointing them to the Word. It's the Word. Anyone can say, well, he's in a better place. But when you can point him to the Word and say, she fulfilled God's purpose. She was Christ in her day. Then you know you're going to see her again. You know you're going to see that brother again. That's comfort. And though Paul said in Thessalonians, comfort you one another, these words, because there's going to be a shout, a voice, a trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And if you fulfill God's purpose, you're going to be one of those dead in Christ. Rising first, if you fulfill the purpose as a believer, I should say. A lot of people fulfill his purpose as an unbeliever. But when you can look at that person's life and say, she or he fulfilled the Word to be a believer, that I saw Christ in that person. That's why I'm afraid if I'm going to see Brother Tim again. That's real comfort. Let's look at some examples back through time. Remember, these examples, these people that we saw down through time, through the Bible specifically, they were not there just so we could know Bible stories, so we have a knowledge, so we could see God did this in Moses, God did this through Elisha, God did this through Joshua and all that. And so that when he did it today, we would recognize his action. Because see, so many people can get up and they can perform miracles. Brother David is telling me that some church overseas somewhere, they're raising the dead and doing all kinds of stuff. Not message believers, just amazing miracles. You can look around if you want to and you can see all kinds of amazing miracles happening, brother and sister. Christ isn't within 100 miles of them. That's how Satan deceives the whole world, is through the miracles he can perform. So we need to see when his characteristics show up. Let's go back and look at some of these. Let's look at some of the women of the Bible who are type of the bride today. See if you can recognize yourself in the type of Christ they played out. Because if you can, it's just a Bible story. But if you can bring it down to today, it's going to increase your faith. You can help you. It'll help you recognize who you are. Do you see any of these characteristics in you? Look at Tamar. Tamar, she played the part of a whore. Why? She had a good living. She was living there in her father-in-law's house. She was a good member of the church. She was comfortable. She had plenty to eat. She probably didn't have to work too hard. Why can't she just be satisfied just to sit in the church pew and be a good message believer? Something inside drove her. She said, I don't care what it takes. I'm getting that seed. I've got to have life in me. She could not be satisfied just to be a good church member. She couldn't be satisfied just to be a good message believer. She had to do whatever it took. She said, I don't care if they call me a whore. I don't care what my reputation is. I am going to possess that seed. There's something that drove her, a thirst that you say, Tamar, what is wrong with you? She said, I don't know, but I've got to fulfill that bloodline. I've got to carry it on. Now, does that strike home? You willing to sit there in church and just be a good message believer? Or are you willing to do whatever it takes to get that life in you? But people are going to think bad about you. You're going to be shunned. She didn't care. She was different. Others were satisfied. She got to understand, what's wrong with you? Why don't you just hang out with the other women and just be normal? Why couldn't you just be normal like your friends when you were growing up? Why couldn't you just be like everybody else? Why do you have to be odd? Why do you have to be different? Why do you have to always stir up trouble? Why do you have to go do crazy stuff or whatever you did? Why couldn't you just be normal? Because something inside was seeking to be satisfied. Something drove you and you just couldn't do it. Your family was fine. Your friends were fine, but you were weird. What's wrong with you? How about Rebecca? She's going about her business one day, and all of a sudden someone shows up and says, hey, listen, there's this man, and he wants to marry you. Well, who are you? I'm Eliezer, his servant. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about how he loves. Let me tell you about his riches. Let me tell you about what he can do for you. Let me tell you about this, my master. I said, will you come? She said, well, I got family. I had to make a decision. Is he going to make a decision now? Mom, uncle, what should I do? He said, it's your decision. Will you go? Will you believe him? Will you leave your family? Will you leave everything? Let me tell you what. When Rebecca left, this was a one-time trip. There was no going back and forth. This is why back in those days, if you went 100 miles, that was once in your lifetime. Basically, it wasn't like you could get in a car and drive 60 miles down the road and I'll see you tomorrow, Mom. No, you're not. You're going by. Will you go? Will you follow this servant? How about Rahab? She had to accept these messengers at great risk. She had to put a token on display, and then she didn't go out to her friends, her family. She said, you all need to come in under my token. But I don't want to come under your token. I don't like the church you go to. I don't want to serve the God you serve. I don't believe the message anyway. You need to come under the token or you're lost. Well, that's my child. I'm going to have to go out there and kind of, I sure hate to see him go to hell. We're family's got to stick together. No, she didn't. She said, if you want to be saved, you need to come under this token. Under this token is where life is. Otherwise, everyone else is going to be killed. You can't compromise just because they're your family. Is this striking home to anybody? You all live some of this? Do you recognize Christ's characteristics? Do you recognize what he's done in our group? Brother and sister, I've seen so many idols be destroyed because they came up and they withstood them. People were not willing to get up, to die to that idol and come along with the word, and God just went in and just mowed them down. He gave them a chance. He gave them a chance. He gave us a chance. He gave us a chance. And when we stay obstinate, he says, listen, you're my elect. I'm going to get you anyways. And he crushes them right in front of us. I know that hurts, but it's still the truth. He said, I am going to get my elect. Well, Ruth, to do, Ruth? She saw something in Naomi that she wanted. She said, I'm going to leave my family. I'm going to leave my religion. I'm going to leave my idols. And I'm going to follow you. And your God's going to be my God. I'm not coming back at all. She didn't know there was a Boaz up there waiting. She didn't know what God had planned for her. She said, I'm just going through. I need to know this God that you serve. She left her family. She left everything. Boy, there's a lot of leaving families to follow God, isn't there? Why? Because he knows that's the hardest thing we have to do sometimes. It's the hardest thing. It's that strong love that we have for our family, that identity, that who we are. It's our stability. It's everything that matters to us, and it makes us feel part of something. He says, well, are you going to be like Ruth? Are you willing to leave? What if I call you to go someplace else? What if I call you to leave your family and move down to Dixon? What if I call you to leave Dixon and go somewhere? What are you going to do? These are the characteristics of God, brothers. This is what Christ does in human flesh. And we can look at it and we see it. It's not just a story to us. We have lived it. How about Mary? You talk about someone who rejected legalism. I love this. You're going to have a child. I've never been with any man. You're going to have a child. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. How's it? Oh, be it unto me. Can you get that simple? Oh, I should ask you. Yes, you can. You have. You have got that simple. He said, be it unto me. She didn't go out and try to produce it. Joseph, where's Joseph? I'm going to have a child. Joseph, we need to get married now. We're going to have a baby. The angel said we're going to have a baby. No, she didn't. She didn't try to do it herself. She didn't question what's going on. How's it going? I don't know. This is a miracle. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. She just said, okay. I believe the voice of the messenger. I heard the voice of God. I recognize it. I accepted it. And it's up to him to produce it. Oh, if we could just get a hold of that. Yes, you can get a hold of that. It's up to him to produce it. He sent you this message. He sent you the word of God. It's not up to you to produce it, to produce a rapture. Rapture yourself. Somebody rapture yourself. Give yourself a body change. Ridiculous. Then why do we struggle trying to produce it when we know it's going to take God Almighty to do it from the beginning to the end? You can't change your body. You can't change your nature. All you can do is mess with your old nasty old nature, your old flesh, and just get in God's way. Without any physical evidence, she believed for a miracle. Glory to God. Without any feeling, she believed it. Without any emotion, she believed it. Without any sensation, she believed it. She didn't run to the altar and say, oh, if I could just feel it, I'll believe it. Oh, if I could just have some kind of baptism, I'll believe it. Oh, then I would know I was born again. Oh, glory to God. Oh, if I could just have something that I know I was born again because I felt this or that happened or that happened. She just said, be it unto me. Let this happen to me. You want to be born again? Be it unto you. That's all you want to do. That's all he's required. That's all he wants from you. It's been promised to you. Be it unto me. You know who my favorite one is here in this list? Sarah. Did you say Sarah? She laughed. Yes, she did. She did more than laugh. She lied to God. Well, how in the world do you find her your favorite? Because she deserved to die, and so do I. She should have been smoked down dead right there, but she couldn't. Why? Because she had been predestinated. The seed was going to come through her. Glory. You can't die. You've been predestinated. The promise was to you. And he said, Abraham, you're going to have a child through Sarah. Glory to God. Are you sure? Because, brother and sister, you and I should have been struck dead of unbelief long ago, but you can't because a promise has been given to you. I am going to bring forth my bride, and it's through you. Oh, my. You can't die. You can't be lost. You're in relationship with Abraham. Excuse me if I get a little overwhelmed here, but brother and sister, I should have died. I should have been the one. I should have been out in the world. I should have been chasing after the things of the world. But he said, no, you've been predestinated. You will not die. You've been chosen. You've been the elect. How do you know? Because I see the characteristics. Somebody made me. I see the characteristics of Christ manifesting life. I am bringing forth a child. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. I am Sarah. Oh my goodness, that makes me. It's beyond happy. It's beyond joy. It's beyond peace. What? How do you explain? How do you describe this? I'm going to heaven one day. I've been elected to it. Oh, when Satan comes against you, stand on what God has told you. Be it unto me. He said you could go in a rapture. He said you could have a body change. Be it unto you. My. But all the struggles we have to go through. Oh, it's not worth it? Your little tiny struggles, brother and sister, that tear you up, your life isn't even worth living, is going to mean nothing once you get that body change. You can be in this life and say, my life just ain't even worth living anymore. And the worst, horriblest thing you've gone through is going to disappear like that. Those griefs, those pains that will never heal in this life will be gone just like that. Tell me that's not worth it if that's what it takes to get you there. My, I'm Sarah, the elect. The promise was you will have a child through Sarah. Oh. That's just the sisters, brother and sister. We got, let me just go talk about a couple of the brothers. Jacob. Jacob had a lot in common with Tamar. He said, I'm going to get that life no matter what it takes. I will cheat, I will lie, I will steal, but I'm going to get it. You know, in the Bible, Jesus said, the kingdom of God comes with force, and there's a forceful, or he don't use that word, but it's taken by force. Sometime we need to get that idea. You take that approach to the promises of God. God said I could have it, and Satan's robbing me of it by playing little games in my mind. Sometime you just need to stand up and be a man and say, shut up, get out. Now, if you try to do that on your own strength, he's going to laugh at you and poke you harder. But when you do it in faith, brother and sister, stand up there. Do what it takes. Now, see, you preach that, and then someone goes out and says, well, I'm going to try really hard, Brother Phil. Oh, my goodness. Sit down. You haven't heard a thing I said. Believe as if nothing else matters, because it doesn't. Believe, folks. Saying, but he's driving me crazy. He's telling me this. He's telling me this. Okay, listen to him then. Live in misery. Look at Joseph. He had the promise. He had those dreams. He knew that his family, his brothers were going to kneel before him. And look what he went through before it happened. Oh my goodness, he got kidnapped by his own brothers. He got sold into slavery. He goes down there. He gets falsely accused of some kind of sexual misconduct. He gets put in prison, and he's rotting away in prison. And that dream must have haunted him over and over. Say, God, I know that dream was a spiritual dream. It has to happen. Well, look at you. Look at the stuff you've gone through in this message.
Look at the churches you've gone through. Look at the churches falling apart. Look at the pastors that have done the crazy stuff. Look at the pain. Look at all the things you suffered. And yet you know that God spoke and he said, I called you. You're one of mine. And just so many times we feel we're sitting in a prison house waiting for that manifestation of that promise. Waiting year after year after year after lonely year. Have you seen Christ in yourself? Have you recognized him? You could leave. See, you're in a prison house. You could just get up and walk out. I don't say that, right? This ain't a prison house. You know what I mean? You don't have to sit here. You can get up and leave. This ain't a prison house. Your old nasty flesh is. And you're stuck in that till the promise is fulfilled. That's better. Caleb, claiming his inheritance when he was old man, said, give me this mountain. This is my inheritance. I'm willing to fight for it. I've been around this message for 30 years, Brother Phil. I'm where I need to be. I'm going to sit here in my pew and pay my tithe and listen to the preacher, and one day I'll go in a rapture. Oh, no, you won't. You need to take your mountain, get off your lazy tail, and go take your inheritance. How about Jonah? God is going to use the vessel he has ordained to use. And you can be disobedient, and he's going to use you anyways. He can do what it takes. If he has called you to do something, and he has called you to do something, he is going to get you to do what he wants you to do. And you can run, and you can try to get away, but he has determined that, no, I have determined I'm going to use you for this. But I don't want that. I want to do this. He said, I don't care what you want to do, Jonah. You're going to do what I've ordained you to do. But I don't want to preach. You're going to preach. But I want to preach. You're not going to preach. So many times he calls us to do something that we think we'd be better at something else. I don't want to be an officer in the church. You can ask. It's what I've ordained you to do. Now start fulfilling your duties. Let's go to Brother Branham. What an example. Endured stripping everything to do what? To learn obedience. To recognize that not a single word can be changed. Took his wife, took his baby. That never healed. And I look at that in my human mind, I think, God, that was a lot to add just because it seemed like the punishment was more than, that's my human mind talking. But he said, how many souls do I have to answer because I didn't go and preach to those people? Obedience. And then his childhood, the complexes he developed. He was ridiculed. He was rejected. He didn't have any friends, no fault of his own. But he couldn't get anyone to talk to. And then he's getting the ministry, and people start flocking to him. But then he has to start preaching this strange doctrine, and he has to start preaching things that they don't like, they don't agree with. And so again, he's rejected and ridiculed. Opposition against his ministry. He starts losing friends. People start saying things against him. And that old complex builds up again. You say, well, you couldn't blame him. God disallowed. He just said, no, I'm not going to allow that. Because Christ loves you all the way to the cross. Hanging on the cross. He still loved him. He didn't build a complex. Well, if you reject me, then fine. I'm just going to go, no. He forgave him on the cross. He loved him hanging on the cross. That's our example. So he spoke to Brother Branham and said, no, if you go and follow off this, take your complex and run off and do what you're going to do, you're going to lose everything. You think you're alone now. And he had to come back. He said, you know what? I'm going back on the field. I'm going to preach, but God's going to have to change my heart. Ain't that amazing? He recognized that there what had gone on. He said, I still feel the same way. God still has to change my heart. Sometimes just because you know it's wrong doesn't mean it's fixed. It's a start. You got to get to that point, know it's wrong, but then you lay that before God, and God has to come and make the change. Do you recognize that part of Christ in you? Yes, you do. Because you tried to change yourself, didn't you? Boy, I wasted more effort trying to change. I'd see something wrong with me. Okay, God, I'm going to do this. Okay, God, I'm going to love this. No, you're not. You're going to lay it before God, and He's going to make the difference, and you're going to recognize Christ living in you today. And then, Brother Branham, sticking with the Word in spite of all the opposition, in spite of everything that came against him, he had learned through the things he suffered. You stay with the Word. Amen. Examples, so that when the Word is living today, we can see it. We don't reject it. We don't get a bad attitude and say, well, God would never be in that. Well, God couldn't do that. Well, look what he done all the way down through. Look at all the flawed people he revealed himself through. And now we can comprehend. We understand the character of God. We understand his characteristics. We see what he looks like living through flesh. And now he can take and follow up and reveal that great final mystery in this age, because he has a group of people who will not be deceived. They will not be deceived. Satan cannot do great damage to us. Oh, he might kill us. He might destroy our bodies. He might do whatever. Has nothing to do with it. Your soul is sealed because you know him. What did he say in Christ is a Mystery? One of my favorite quotes. He said, Brother Branham, what is the baptism or the new birth? He said, what is it? He said, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. You see that he is the Word living. And when that's revealed to you, that is the new birth. It's that simple, and yet how people struggle with that because they don't recognize how simple it is. Amen? Are you blessed? Stand. Oh, what a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. He's just good. Brother Jimmy, would you just dismiss in prayer? We'll just.